In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we hear the parable of the vineyard. This parable, like many parables, has more than one meaning. Many of the parables that Jesus spoke to to the Jews were about them, to teach them something, to rebuke them, to enlighten them. Some were enlightened and some only hated him because of his words. And this parable also was to the Jews. But every parable, every word of Scripture is for us as well. So it has another meaning. Now, the meaning that Jesus meant to convey to the Jews that were with him was that they had not listened to the prophets, that they had squandered their inheritance, and that this inheritance would be given to another people, that is, the Gentiles. And he explained it in this way. There's a certain householder planted a vineyard, and he hedged it round about and dug a wine press and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. The householder is God, and the vineyard is the way to live, what God taught them, the law, the prophets, how to be a people, a peculiar people for him. He hedged it round about with the law and the prophets, protected the people from heresy, from false opinions, from false ways of life. They didn't do things as the pagans did. They were different. So they had a protection in their customs and their traditions, which God had given to them mostly through Moses. The wine press is, in this case, for the Jews, would be for sacrifice. The idea of an altar and a wine press for sacrifice. And then he goes into a far country. Well, God doesn't appear before us at all times so as to watch us, so as to make us aware very visibly that he's here. But he's in, as it were, a far country. Of course, he's not far away. But to unbelievers or to people who are not careful, he does appear to be far away. So the time of the fruit drew near. The time of the fruit is the time when the prophets told the Jews about God and about how to be, how to live, what kind of person to be, what kind of priorities to count, how to think. Well, what did the Jews do with so many of the prophets? Stoned them, killed them. Isaiah was sawn in half. Jeremiah was put in a pit of lime. Many of the prophets were, even up to Zechariah, the father of St. John the Baptist, were killed by the Jews. Because the message that they gave was not a popular one. The message was about repentance, about holiness, about the law of God, about our purpose in life. So the husbandmen killed many of the prophets. Finally, of course, the householder sends his son, and of course that's Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus is predicting here, you're going to kill me too. So what is the householder then going to do? The very same people that were about to kill Christ, out of their own mouths, they condemned themselves because they told the truth. He's going to let out the vineyard to other vine dressers, and he's going to destroy the previous tenants. And this is the truth. Some of the Jews got this message, and it made them very angry, and this is part of what created the intrigue that led to Jesus' eventual crucifixion. You know, his false trial and his crucifixion at the hands of the Jews. Or I should say, at the hands of those Jews who did not believe. Those hands of those Jews that were like their fathers who killed the prophets. But there are others that believed, that changed their lives. Now, what does this parable mean for us? We're not Jews. What can it teach us? Always look to the Scriptures to teach something about yourself. And I don't mean some sort of idea about what you should do as far as to take a job or not, or God give you some sign that you should marry someone or something like that. for those things, pray and ask the Lord to enlighten you. But don't, you know, be like some sort of soothsayer and expect the Scriptures to tell you what job to take. No, the Scriptures should enlighten you about yourself and about God. I've told you before many times, in order to be saved, you have to know two things. Quite simple, but also quite broad and quite large. You have to learn about God and you have to learn about yourself. If you don't learn about yourself, you won't have any reason to turn to God because you'll be self-satisfied. You won't feel your lack. You'll be like a blind man who thinks he sees. A man who's deaf who thinks he hears. What a tragedy. But if you don't learn about God, you can't know of His mercy. And you can't know that He will help you in all things. So you must learn about God and you must learn about yourself. So the vineyard is indeed the church. And the hedge is the law of God, the customs of our church, the sacred customs. Our fasting, our gathering for prayer, for the Holy Eucharist, baptism, protection from heresies by saying the symbol of faith, all the other things in the church that hedge us round about, that protect us. And the church has a way of thinking about things and a way of living. And that way of thinking is the mind of Christ. And we are safe if we are in that behind the hedge. Well, the Lord, the householder, gives us access to this vineyard. But vineyards are for producing fruit. So we are responsible for producing fruit. And of course, this fruit is to become good, to become holy, to follow God's law, to become fire, to be able to comprehend God, to know Him, to be able to see Him and not be ashamed. This is the fruit that the Lord wants us to bring to Him, a changed heart, a humble spirit. Now, perhaps we don't think of ourselves like these husbandmen. I say that's a mistake. These husbandmen, they killed people. They killed the prophets. They killed our Lord. And we're not violent people, are we? I mean, nobody's ever threatened me. So, are we like these husbandmen or not? Well, I say we are. Because what does it say? They say, this is the heir, these evil men. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. What about seizing the inheritance? What about all the good things that God has given us? Do we remember that He has given us these things? Now, intellectually we do, but on a day-to-day basis, do we? I've told many of you before, how do you stop judging someone? By realizing that you're worthy of judgment. You're worthy of damnation, and the Lord is helping you and forgiving you. If you have that always before your eyes, your own sins, and yet the Lord is merciful towards you, you won't want to be unmerciful towards anyone else. And any other sin that you can think of, if you think of how good the Lord is to you, then you would not want to do anything to sadden Him. You want to live in a way that is pleasing to Him. Not because it's a law, not because otherwise you'll get zapped and go to hell. Not at all. It should come from the heart. It should come from thanksgiving. It should come from knowing what kind of person you are and that it's not good enough. The kind of people we are, it's not good enough. I hope that you think that what the kind of person you are is not good enough. That you're not satisfied. That when someone says something to you that is evil, that you react in kind. That when you remember a wrong against you, you become bitter and angry. That you do not control your thoughts. That you're lazy. All the other things. I hope you're not satisfied with that kind of person. That you don't want to be like that. Because God gives us the way to change. To become what we should be. To become perfectly peaceful. But if we take the gifts of God that He's given us, and don't use them, but instead just take our pleasure where we can and when we want to, then how are we really different than these husbandmen? These husbandmen were given everything they needed in order to bear fruit. So are we. The Lord comes to these husbandmen and expects them to bring forth fruit. He comes to us as well. We should not come to Him empty-handed, with no virtue to show. We have every advantage. So I tell you, when you look at these husbandmen, you should see yourself as well. All right, if you don't want to think you're a violent person who would kill, you certainly are a person who takes the gifts of God and does not use them in a way that is pleasing to God, that in a way that is good for yourself. It's very important for us to understand why we do good things. It's very misunderstood. People have a very legalistic view of why we should follow the law. We think only in terms of rewards and punishments. I think we instead should think in terms of reality, of who we really are, what kind of person we are. None of us would take poison because we know it's bad for our body. None of us would jump from a height knowing that we would die when we hit the ground. We care for ourselves. Well, our soul has needs. And indeed, isn't really the essence of who you are how you feel, isn't it? How you act and how you feel. Not how much money you have, or if you have family or not family, or anything else. No matter what you accomplish in this life, if you do not have inner peace, you've got nothing. And the Lord wants you to have the inner peace. And the way to obtain it is to bring forth fruit. That's the only way to obtain inner peace. So when the Lord demands of you fruit, He's really not so much demanding something in return for what He's given you. He is pointing you in the direction of peace, of tranquility, of feeling unashamed, of feeling complete. That's all He wants from you. He wants from you what you actually need. So really, to work in the vineyard is not really work. It is, instead, in our best interest to try to bring forth fruits. Let us not be like these husbandmen. God gives us so much stuff, and what do? He gives us the Holy Church, and yet, how often do we confess? How often do we come to the services? How often do we say, well, it's a little difficult, you know, it's a Friday, I worked hard, I'm tired, there's a lot of traffic. You know, or it's very early in the morning to get up, I can't do that. Or, I'm tired about saying my prayers. No, no matter that you just watched a 3-hour special TV movie. Well, there's always special TV movies. Every single one of them is so special that there's nothing special. So, many times we choose the wrong direction to go. Then we're like the householder. We should rebuke ourselves. We should feel ashamed of that, what the Lord has done for us. And yet, so often we're so frivolous in the way we live. I don't think there's anyone among us that can really say with total conviction that I don't waste any time, that I'm always trying to do good. I really love the Lord and want to follow all of His commandments carefully. I don't think there's any one of us that can stand up and say that and not really be, in some measure, a hypocrite. So in that, to that measure that we are hypocrites, we are this householder. And yet the Lord has given us everything we need. Let us remember it. Reflect on things like this scripture. Reflect on the gifts that God has given you. Now, perhaps you don't feel all the goodness God has given you. Perhaps, you know, life is difficult, and day to day it's hard, and perhaps you don't feel God's love. It's like, Father Seraphim's always talking about the goodness of God and how we feel it. I don't feel anything. Why might that be? Well, I tell you. When we are distracted by the world, we can't feel God. So, the problem is with us. No, you have to take on faith that you have a difficult problem that keeps you away from feeling God's love if you don't feel Him at all. I tell you, the more virtuous you become, the better you feel about yourself. This is true of anybody. I don't care if they believe in God or not. People feel better about themselves. People feel more at peace when they are doing things that are peaceful, when they are loving, when they are humble, when they're compassionate. Doesn't matter. An atheist feels better when he does such things, because the law of God is written on his heart just as much as it is on ours. And when we do these things, which God helps us to do, we become perfect and peaceful. That's what the Lord wants for us. So examine your heart. How much are you like a house? How much are you like one of these fine dressers that has the gifts of God, has everything you need, and does very little with it? Try to stop doing those things in your life. Try to change. Try to always have God before your face. If you remember God, then He certainly will remember you and help you in all things. So let us resolve that we will be good vine dressers. We will bear fruit, the fruit that God knows we need and that we need as well. Amen.